Well, we're here to celebrate the completion of the course. We actually managed to do it. We actually managed to somehow or other finish a three-year program. And we have a batch of graduating students. Some of them are already staff members teaching. Some of them are coming back to join our staff here and in Mayapur. Actually, out of the, I guess, nine that we're giving diplomas to, three of them are teachers on our staff now, and two others are joining our staff. So I'd like to invite the graduating devotees, if they want to speak anything about their experiences. I'll tell you a little bit about mine, but it goes back a little more than 3 years, something more like 30 years, 35 years. Anyway, our real business is to try to serve Prabhupada's mission. We're supposed to be bhaktas, not gyanis. Prabhupada, of course, education is important in the Vaishnav Sampradaya. Vairagya Vidya. Vairagya and Vidya. Vidya is there. It's very important. Learning. But we want spiritual learning, appropriate learning, something that will be practical in the use of the mission of Srila Prabhupada to save this world. There are already so many, one direct statement from Prabhupada, there are hundreds of Sanskrit scholars in the world already, and they are all useless. So we don't want to become more useless Sanskrit scholars. I joined ISKCON 35 years ago. I only worked for ISKCON for a few months, and after that I joined the BBT, which is technically a separate corporation. So I'm a BBT worker. And when I joined in New York City was a Sankirtan temple, although it also housed the BBT, the only one at that time. In Brooklyn, New York, and we had our BBT office a few blocks away from the temple. But we were also expected to participate in the preaching. Every weekend, the whole temple went out, traveling in vans to nearby states to distribute Krishna books in the parking lots and drive-in theaters. And later on, every single day after lunch, everybody went on the metro, the subways, to sell back to Godhead magazines. And then for about 2 years, every morning after breakfast, the whole BBT staff jumped in a van and went to Manhattan to do street kirtan and distribute books in the streets. So we were very much involved in preaching. And by circumstance, or somehow, I ended up in the Sanskrit department because I had some training in linguistics. So after a short stint in the English department, helping to proofread back to Godhead, maybe 1 month, and then I was shifted over to the Treasury department, where it was discovered that I can't add up a column of numbers twice and ever come up with the same number. So I didn't last long in the Treasury. Back in the BBT, working for the Sanskrit department. But I wasn't allowed to study Sanskrit. It's just the peculiarity of the devotee in charge. He didn't think it was necessary for me to know anything or learn anything. So I was not allowed to study grammar. Of course, I wanted to, so I would sometimes sneak out in the backyard with a grammar book. Or in the afternoons, we'd go out on the metro, the subway trains, to sell Krishna books, and I'd bring the grammar book with me there, sitting on the trains. Somehow I learned something, but it took me 8 or 10 years before I really knew the grammar. After going through that myself, I realized this is not the way to do it, that there has to be support, there has to be guidance for learning how to read the Shastras and translate books for Prabhupada's service. And also, there were other devotees in the department of Sanskrit who were what we might call loose canons. They were a little bit expert in reading a few things, and they were starting to think they knew more than Prabhupada about a lot of things and acting much too independent. When the BBT moved to Los Angeles in 1975, it became self-evident the Sanskrit department was a little, let's say, degraded. Ramesh Maharaj used to call it the Sanskrit department. Sense gratification. And it didn't have a good reputation. So I got some ideas in my head that really this should be organized properly. There should be proper training. And it's important work, but we can't just let everybody do their own thing in the name of Sanskrit scholarship and really think that it's serving Prabhupada's mission. We saw one devotee after another just fall down completely because of becoming puffed up and even daring to find fault in Prabhupada. So I didn't know how to proceed. I'm not an organizer. I tried to help train up a few devotees. In Los Angeles, I worked with Kushakrata Babu. He joined us, and we used to study together. Try to talk in Sanskrit. We read the Padma Purana and discuss it in Sanskrit. And then we... Later on, I was in Miami working with Vidyananda Maharaj after Prabhupada's disappearance, finishing the Bhagavatam. And there I was training a few devotees. No organized program, but I was trying to help a few devotees come up to the standard and know enough to be able to be useful for the BBT. Among them was Yadu Prabhu, who is now a big scholar. And then I tried to start with the BBT's backing to start a Sanskrit school. This was in 1990. And BBT gave me some money for that. I tried first in North Carolina, then I tried it out in New Jersey. We have a temple in Tuaco. But I couldn't attract anybody serious. And in fact, because I had no idea that really what's required is not just invite everybody, come, we'll study, but we need some sort of disciplined, organized program. I didn't learn that yet. And so I didn't, you know, I didn't get anybody really who was at all serious about proper disciplined study. Nothing happened. Nothing happened successfully. Until ended up here in Govardhan, first in Vrindavan, then Govardhan, and we started to do something a little practical. Dharmada Prabhu joined us, and then Matsya Prabhu joined us after that. And informally, we were having classes in my house for a few years. And then, of course, Gopal Bhatta Prabhu stepped in and gave his organizational skills and some money also that we were able to found this school 3 years ago. I'm sorry that I've done such a poor job of trying to organize it, but somehow we've survived despite everything, and we're gradually getting organized with the help of serious devotees. Today we're here to or officially congratulate and certificate those devotees who have finished the program for 3 years. I think five or six of them are staying with us anyway, either here or in Mayapur. I'm happy that they've succeeded. I'm a little sad that those who are going won't be here to see the school the way it's supposed to be when we finally get properly organized and properly situated on a good campus, that you may not be here. Those who are leaving us won't be here with us at that time. But you'll be remembered in history as the pioneers who put up with everything to establish this program. Hare Krishna. Would anybody else like to speak their impressions? Those who are graduating, something of your experiences. We're not asking for a complete history, but just some sample of what you'd like to talk about. Yeah, can you? Well, why don't we? No, but you should use that mic. Yeah.
I think you're the real pioneer. You're really the one heading this development in ISKCON of Sanskrit scholarship in real scholarship. So.
Thank you. Anyway, I have some ideas. I don't always know how to do it right. I have an idea what we should do, but I haven't been always very good about implementing how to do it the systematic way. But we'll try to take some help from competent devotees and get it straight. Hare Krishna, thank you. But Matsya Prabhu, would you like to speak?
Vanchakaparubhyascha kripa sindhu vyavcha pitanam bhavanibhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namaha. Well, I'm happy that we all made it to this day. It's like a ship who's crossed to the other end of the big ocean. So far it's been a really wonderful experience, you know, despite whatever small things we had to tolerate it. I think that the program was very successful, especially on the level of on the transmission of transcendental knowledge here. I was really happy, personally, from the course which I taught and seeing also the students in the other courses that they learned Harinamrita really quite well, and that they learned how to read the tikkas nicely, and that they became more acquainted on a deeper level with the Gaudiya philosophy, and that they got good association and grew spiritually here. I saw many people grow spiritually, many people took initiation and started doing deity worship and started going further in their Krishna consciousness also. So I must admit that I'm the first batch of students is particularly dear to my heart as a teacher, and especially this first batch of students, most of the devotees were quite mature devotees already. That most of them have been devotees for at least 10 years or so, and so the sangha was very good. It was a very good, like, Madhyam, as Srimati Mataji would say, it's a very good Madhyama culture here of association. Whereas sometimes if you live in the ashrams in the West, you have to deal with all kinds of people and all kinds of levels. But here, what was really endearing about this course is that I think we're all living together and we all develop such close relationships and friendships that can really last the rest of our lives. And that was quite a special experience. I think I, even more than in the Brahmachari ashrams that I stayed in, I think even here, developed more closer and deeper relationships with the devotees. So I'd like to thank all the graduates for their association over these years and for being such wonderful students and for sticking it through and becoming successful. So, Hare Krishna.
Hare Paul. Thank you.
I particularly remember the first days, the first 6 months, actually, before we even moved to this building. those 6 months were the best, actually, in my memory. Although externally, it might be not the best, but somehow I remember those 6 months really, because, like, I came just before starting of the course, and the situation was like just to kind of create a remembrance. I'll highlight a few details of our setup. We had that building, which is just 50 meters down the small lane there, with a room upstairs and you know, a few rooms and downstairs Matsya and Durmada were staying, and kitchen was downstairs, and it was quite you know, quite full, because the first, actually, if you remember, we had 25 students the first maybe 3 months. We had 25 students, actually. So that room was like, was really full for the classes, and I remember Prasad, and I remember those monkey fights with the and once somebody got that pepper gas, Mother Mahaprabhu. And monkeys were there, and somebody, most brave devotee, went up to the monkeys and sprayed, but the wind was opposite to us, so all the devotees had to run instead of monkeys. And the monkeys were sitting there looking what was going on. They were really astonished, like, well, those people are sneezing and running away. And so this was constant, you know. So that those monkey fights, and some monkeys used to kind of win their banana by dramatic shows, like they were like like performing some things, really, like that. And then another thing I remember, because we were like, you know, especially I remember the mode of our learning and teaching, in your teaching, that we used to get really on every paribhasha. We got really into discussion. So often like some devotees used to like be very, all of us, we were like kind of really, I want to understand this paribhasha, what's it all about? And then here and there some guests would come, and they were like very excited, oh, this is like Sanskrit school. And I remember, like, I just demonstrate their expression on their faces. They come to the Sanskrit classroom, and they kind of, after breakfast, like, we just assembled, and here Sanskrit class starts, and they're like really like, oh, what's gonna be? And then after some time, like that, because we are all operating that special language of Govindas and Vrishnindras and the Haris and Haras and Mahaharas. And then after some time, they're like this. Sometimes they're like this. And so it was funny to see them sitting there on the back chairs. So kind of, but we were into it. We were like really, this was our we were in our environment, how to say that. And further on also, the conditions we lived in, actually, yeah, were quite amazing. Most of the devotees, we stayed, not in the building, but somewhere in other parts of it. Somebody is on Parikram Marg, we were on the Dobi Gali, and then, so I remember the... at least myself and Damodar, we moved into a room which I'm looking back, and I doubt I'll be able to live in such room anymore in my life. But somehow, it's like a room which has no window outside, and it just has a small window which has no any use, because it's inside the corridor of a building which looked like a well. So we were on the bottom. And in the corridor we were taking bath, because there wasn't a bathroom. And some devotees lived upstairs, but we were like on the bottom of the well. And And then inside the room was so humid and wet that, you know, all paint was falling from them, you know, and here and there rats would run into a room. So, but somehow or other, nothing affected my enthusiasm, and I was very satisfied with the condition because our minds were so absorbed into the process which we were undergoing. And also excitement about coming and living in Govardhan was also very wonderful. That, you know, that air of Govardhan and the vibrations of Govardhan were very kind of new and fresh to us. So it was really very, we were excited. And then at the 4 o'clock every morning you could see few torchlights around in different streets coming together, like, then you know, okay, this is how people are coming from Mangalarati.
Yeah, I'm afraid that the dogs sometimes, because
yeah, and there was that funny lane which were leading to the building, which was 1.5 meters wide, maybe. Nighttime, morning there was no current, so it was so dark. So sometimes I remember, used to come almost reach the end, and then you see a bull coming. That's you had to give it the way. So it was ecstatic first 6 months, which really stuck in my memory, and it was also. A romantic romantic month in Dharwad, which I may leave it to someone else to reminisce. Yeah. So the last thing I want to say is that I remember especially we had a sweet competitions with Damodar Prabhu on the grammar. So, we on the tests which we were writing,
we used to. I remember
competing for sweets. Okay. So that was very very nice. It was enthusiastic. Yeah, and there was another nice thing about it, that we were on our roof, then we used to see these buildings roof, and the devotees were there after lunch with the sutras, pacing back and forth, and then maybe sometimes you could also, like, you know, see some other roofs with other devotees. So it was like we nobody was out of sight even after lunch. Like, everyone was up on the job, you know. So it was very nice. Okay, these are my sweet memories. And Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I'm sure there's much more, but you know, the speaker can speak another time, twice or thrice, if other memories come up. That's the point.
Well, Tamadapur, can you speak?
Vanchakalpatubhyascha kripasandubhivacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavibhyo namo namah. Yes, before joining, there's a few devotees says, you sure you want to join? Govardhan is very hot and it's very austere. And then even my father says, you know, if after some time, you know, you don't want to stay there, you can always come back, you know. Like, if 3 years is too much. But no, I said, okay, it's 3 years, so let's focus 3 years. So I'm happy we did that. And actually, it was not so hard. It was just, like, the initial part was hard, the struggle. I remember it was quite intense, and we were studying the sutras, and one night, after 1 month, I had a big headache because I was studying too much. and I just, like, I the only thing I could do is just lay down and, like, knock down and wake up next morning. So that was nice. I mean, full absorption. And I remember another time within the 3 years, it says, okay, today I'm going to use my memory every second of the day. So I was like always constantly trying to memorize something like the whole time, but then that didn't last long. But it was a good exercise because I could see my help my brain to function more. And when all these classes were so intense, you know, every class was like high intellectual work with these paribhashas and then trying to understand the commentaries. And every class was like high intensive work. And it's like after every class you felt like sleeping an hour. But it was good. It was good training because it really makes the brain work. And you see, you know, the potential that the brain has. I mean, in modern civilization, we don't study like this. And it's nice that now the facility is there that those who really want to absorb. And we should create high intellectual devotees who can use their brain very much. And it's like a muscle. If you train it, if you work it, that's what the Shaktis do. They build up their muscles and then they fight. So the Brahmanas, they build up their brains, you know, and then they fight with their brain. So that was nice. I could really see this was intense here. And even one point, when Matsavatar Prabhu went to the washroom, that was in the other building. He was in his room, and then he goes to the washroom, and then to go to the washroom is the open courtyard, open roof yard or whatever. And then Nityananda and I, we were there studying our sutras. And then he came out, and we were like... Says we should call this the Matsyavatar Hospital or something. This is what you're doing to your students. we're becoming mad, you know, all the time learning sutras. And I remember often like I would like recite sutras, and then after a while it's like become dizzy and I have to lay down because it was quite intense to learn the sutras. But I'm happy I did it because, like I said, it was high intellectual work. And it was austere at one point in the middle. It was like, whoa, okay, wow, it's really hard. And by the end of every semester, it was like, it's like we're like laying down just like the few days, and okay, we did a lot. So it shows we did a lot of austerities to keep up with the studies, and that's just such a good training. So sometimes devotees ask me, so how was it? How was the 3 years? What did you learn? It's kind of hard to measure in one sense, I found, because I felt here I didn't receive some information, but more like a transformation, because ultimately Krishna consciousness and in the scriptures, to know it. It's a very deep thing. It's not a cheap thing, and it's not that you can say, okay, within this period of time I'll learn this much and like that. It's because also it's according to the adhikar of the person who studies, how much he'll understand, and according to his mood. That's prerequisites for his amount of learning. You cannot say, okay, within this much I'll study this book and I'll study that, and this is what I learn. But it's like we learn a process of how to inquire. Okay, and also ultimately, how much can we actually know? Because knowledge of Krishna is unlimited. So these are different conceptions. But what I feel here is that a real student or a real person is always inquisitive. Always inquisitive. He's always wants to learn, and this is how actually the person learns, not by making a plan of like this. Okay, this is necessary. This is there. But if the eagerness to learn is not there, then the person will not learn, even though he might enroll in the course for that many amount of time or that. This is really, you learn by the eagerness. And if a person's eager, wherever he's situated, he'll receive knowledge. That's one of the Satya Slokis, is that one should always inquire about the absolute truth, in all times, in all circumstances, either directly or indirectly. So in whichever way it comes, if the person is inquisitive to know about the Absolute Truth will reveal himself. And so we have to develop this. So this is real education. Real education means a person is inspired to develop that within himself. And therefore, the amount of knowledge, he'll always learn. He'll always learn his whole life. He'll always learn. He'll always understand more and more. And the process, okay, we sit down, we study the scriptures. And that's it. As long as it's related to what has been given by God. And then we learn from that. Sorry, there was some other point. Yeah, and what I feel more is, here's I by the association of Gopi Panda Prabhu and all the other devotees here, is that I feel that I've developed some tools to access more the scriptures, to access more the knowledge of the scriptures, and some skills. And this is of real, more real value than some information I've been given. Because information you easily forget, but the skills and these skills and these relationships, this really is the proper foundation by which more and more knowledge can come. So really I feel that after these 3 years, I'm just beginning. Because I feel I've learned more the process of how to study. And this, I feel especially, has come from Gopi Panda Prabhu. It's quite a style that most people maybe are not used to of how to knowledge. But he's so knowledgeable because he has this eagerness to study and to teach. And the teaching is part of the studying. If you want to know a subject perfectly, then you teach it. We can see it in the Sandarbhas. He's teaching them, and his knowledge of the Sandarbhas becomes more concrete. And this is also a great opportunity that he's learning the Sun. I mean, while he's learning the Sandarbhas, which is on the, he's teaching it to us. He's translating them, teaching it to us. And where is this available in ISKCON, in the English language, where a person like that is deeply absorbed in the Sandarbhas, in the studies, and it does it in a very traditional way. He reads the Sanskrit, translates it, and teaches it. Teaches from the books. That's what we have here. That's what is available here. So we can learn also by serving Gopi Panda Prabhu, by getting his mercy. We can learn how to imbibe that herself, how to study that herself, how to have access to these scriptures. Just by learning the Sanskrit, I can already see I could develop a little skill of reading the Sandarbhas by myself. Okay, now it would be much endeavor, but like as reading the text, I could notice in the Sanskrit and see how it worked, the way Jiva Goswami expressed himself and understand the concepts in reading the commentaries of the Acharya. So that's what I feel I learned here more. It's more some skills. I'm repeating that again. Instead of some information, more some skills. And I think that's the foundation. That's real radical training. And from the skills, all the necessary information will come. Because you have the skill. If you know how to live in the mode of goodness, then the information will come. Knowledge will come from that, from having the proper necessary skills and aptitudes. So this is a few thoughts on this, what I've learned in the last few years. And also, it was a steer. But I mean, I felt in Krishna consciousness, since I joined Krishna consciousness, it's always been a steer. Because that's part of self-realization. That's part of human life. Human life means you perform austerities for eternal happiness. It's always been a steer, but it's a different type of austerity. So when you join the temple, okay, you have to learn all the regulations, and then you go out and preach. And in preaching, so much austerities is involved. And but you're also, I felt my level of austerity had increased by the situations here. And I mean, that's Krishna conscious life, and that's self-realization, is that you increase more and more the level of austerities that you're able to imbibe, because that's what a Krishna conscious devotee is. He wants to spread Krishna consciousness. He's ready to accept all sufferings for the upliftment of human civilization, for the upliftment of society. And so great devotees, they accept lots of responsibility, lots of pain, lots of austerities for spreading Krishna consciousness in this world. We saw this in Prabhupada at the age of 70 years old. He had, he went on the boat, had two heart attacks, and throughout his the 12 years that he was preaching, constantly, so many austerities he had to face. His health was not good. So many responsibilities to manage. So many headaches was there to manage a worldwide organization. And still, he would wake up in the morning, translate his books, and even he would take this type of a tobacco that you smell, and because when you're dizzy, you smell that, so it helps you to become. So Prabhupada would take that in the morning just to see that. Against his bodily, some people can say, "Oh, I'm getting too dizzy. Let me not translate these books anymore. So let me not wake up in the morning." So, but he would take this authority of waking very much early, and accepting these bodily pains just for the benefit of humans. And we saw that in so many instances, and also his disciples, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, we see for. An example, when he was leaving his body, great pain, but he was not so affected by that. And he said, "Well, let me accept all the pain, let me accept all the suffering, and to help ISKCON." That was his mood. I'm praying to ISKCON. Let me sacrifice this body that I have for the betterment of ISKCON. Whatever suffering is there, I'm just praying. Now I'm in this position where I'm about to leave my body, and many devotees are giving attention, so therefore I'm just praying that we all become more united. It's not like this. So his mood was that for one accepting one's suffering for oneself. So anyways, that's the thoughts on austerities here. But here I learned more physically, and it helped me more to, I feel, gain more level of austerities I can tolerate. Well, many of you had to tolerate me. That's a big austerity. So thank you for tolerating all my faults. I have to improve in many ways. Yeah. And also, some other things I felt that I learned here. Also, I got a little bit involved in the management because of circumstances. Krishna made these circumstances, but it was always something I wanted to do. Even in Canada and Vancouver, I was getting a little bit involved, but in this way. So I learned a lot of things in that capacity also. So I don't at all regret anything of coming here. It was Krishna's mercy upon me that I was able to be here for the 3 years in being Govardhan. There's many other things to say, but for now I'll pass it on to the next speaker.
Sorry.
I have a big list, maybe I'll speak later on. Because yesterday I just told that I won't be able to say everything perfectly, so I just sat down and wrote a whole list of my memories, so maybe I'll just try to share it. So I don't know from where to start. Yeah, about our studies in the first time in the very beginning. I remember Matsyatara Prabhu, he was really training us with the sutras, and he was making these maha recitations, And then we had to recite sutras every day before class. So, and then Master Prabhu, he thought, okay, you have to be really perfect with the sutras. And he introduced a new system. So somebody starts reciting a whole chain of sutras, and then he would interrupt and ask anybody to continue. And then he used to recite a few sutras, and then he used to interrupt him. So it was really tough, because you have to be very concentrated. You couldn't divert to anything. It was like a... Then books which we had, they also had so many... we had almost always some number changes, some sutras. Like because it was very difficult for myself, because I accustomed to memorize number of the sutras, and then this number changes, and I had to think, okay. And then I understood that I have to be attached not to the number, but to the sutras itself, to the meaning. So, but it was difficult. Then also constant changes, but I can see that those devotees who are studying right now, they are in much more better situation, because they have already those books edited and prepared. So, but we had to go through all this. So, then about Dharavar also, I'll speak a little bit. I'm sure that devotees will speak more. First of all, I remember our trip to Dharavar. It was like a whole car of devotees, about 35 or 30 of us. And we brought a lot of prasadam. Maybe remember our cook, he made these sweet balls. And we had a lot of them, so, and we had much more than we needed, and then we made a big harinama in the car, and then we started distributing the sweets. And everyone appreciated this. It was like a very, very nice preaching. And then we finally came to Dharavar. It was a very, very nice place. It was not so cold, not so hot. And we lived in one building. I think Fidavati lived in one more building, right? In Sinanda and Damodara.
Yeah,
in Kishore. Probably, yeah. Three of you. So, and then because it was some kind of a Namahata center, we used to have our classes, and at the same time a devotee used to come, and they used to ask questions to Prabhuji, and then Prabhuji, he started giving classes at the evening time also, and we used to go for preaching programs outside, for some home programs, and the devotees, they tried actually their best, and we had such a huge feast. I remember one feast with ice cream. It was such an experience.
it was Krishna Balaram. Krishna Balaram, he was always during the feast, he was always, he wants more, and he wants more, and he wants more, and he wants more. And then at one point, I think we all said, he wants! And then he was like,
Just one last one.
That juice and whatever came to the mind, we started mentioning, and we really didn't think that that's going to be fulfilled, and we didn't care even if it's fulfilled. We just wanted to. And next day when we saw that, really, that all those things are there, strawberry, that, this mango, everything is there and unlimited. That is how it began.
And they had a feast for everybody, but then they brought us in the behind scene, and they had like every juice possible, and then ice cream. And then we would have
mango shake.
Yeah, ice cream shake. We'd mix it. It's like, there was the Vrindavan juice also at one point.
Vrindavan juice corner.
Vrindavan juice corner. That was the South India. But I remember it was always a competition, because we were saying, excuse me? So you have those pictures, devotees on the show. I remember it was a competition that he was always like trying to like engage us in preaching activities. I remember, no, we have to study, we have the test, we have to study, we have no time, and like it was like always a fight, but it was always nice at the end that he invited us to.
Also, they were trying to satisfy us in any possible way. I remember a few local devotees, they used to cook some breakfast and lunch. It was it was very, very nice.
It was hard to
say. Sometimes it was very spicy, but anyway, it was so tasty that you couldn't resist to take it. Yeah, green chapatis, then they make a huge bucket of idlis. It's coconut chutney. I also remember one pancakes feast by my Punchandra Prabhu. Pancakes feast.
Pancakes
feast. Yeah. In the morning breakfast. Yeah.
And then there was often dokras doshas.
Doshas, yeah.
In that feast of ice cream, guess who's the devotee who ate the most ice cream? Little Padma. I had 10 scoops.
Also, remember those Harinamas in Dharavar, it was about 30 or 40 of us. In Dharavar, they don't have a very strong ISKCON center, but they have some ritual center, so they asked us to make a big harinama. It was like a huge harinama. It was something incredible. Everyone appreciated it.
It was like
So then also a few memories about our previous days. Maybe remember that in the beginning we had fruits for breakfast as well, along with normal food. And then few devotees, they had to cut these fruits during Bhagavatam class. So, and then we had this Krishna Balaram Prabhu, such a wonderful devotee. So he started to cut these fruits in such a way that so that everyone could just take it and put it in the mouth. And he was doing such a love and devotion, so everyone appreciated it. And then devotees started to do some even more service, like, okay, I'll do this one. Yeah. And the monkey, they really liked our breakfast. I remember we always had two devotees with the big rods, like patrolling, right, around, so that one was on the roof and one was around this prasadam area, so that no monkey could sneeze in. But sometimes, despite all this guards, they used to jump from anywhere, like take bananas or whatever and just go away with prasadam.
What are you saying?
Such a humble, gentle devotee, and then you see him up on the roof.
One instance with the monkeys, one time with the brick, that was like really dangerous. You remember, there was a brick that was left on the roof, and then one monkey just threw it down.
Yeah.
And it came down and made a dent in the cement. It's like...
And also monkey, they became very angry with us. And then one monkey almost attacked Bhagirata Prabhu. He was like fighting, and then he turned back, and then monkey, he or she was ready to jump on his back and bite him. But anyway, somehow Krishna saved Bhagirata Prabhu.
I was trying to throw clay pot on the monkeys. It's accident. It's hit Divya Govinda Prabhu's head. His mother and father was there and it's a little and actually the spray, it was the day before spray actually. And that, since that time, my apple told, you cannot hold this spray, give to me. And the next day he sprayed. It was so funny.
And then a few memories about Jambavan Prabhu. Jambavan Prabhu. Yeah, maybe remember he has this three kids, I think. Yeah, and one of them, I don't remember already his name, but he used to, whenever Jambavan Prabhu, he would give class, he used to put his son, and then Hanuman. Yeah, and then whenever he needed some shloka, he used to turn to him and tell, okay, recite. Recite shloka, yeah, and he used to recite the shloka, like, and then shloka and translation, and Jambavan Prabhu, he was like very proud. Okay, this is my son.
One time I asked Hanuman, says, what's your favorite verse of Bhagavad Gita? Then he, I don't remember the Sanskrit, but he says, the verse where Lord Brahma says that my night is this long and my day is that long.
I also remember very wonderful classes. Very wonderful Bhagavatam overview course by Madana Mahana Prabhu. It was like first we started, okay, we're gonna go throughout all cantos. Like first introduction, then first canto, second canto, and so on. But then we stuck, like he started to speak more about some particular subject matter, and then it was like one verse for 2 days, and then again, then we understood that there's gonna be no Bhagavatam overview. But it was like a very, very nice classes, so many realizations, so many nice points, and it was whole discussions. Jambavan Prabhu, all the senior devotees, they used to participate in these discussions. And then very brilliant and very, very inspiring, very jokey, spoken Sanskrit classes by Divya Govinda Prabhu. Yeah, I remember we came and nobody knew anything about grammar, how to speak, and what is Eshaha, what is Etat, and so on. And then, but we had to speak somehow, and Divya Govinda Prabhu, he used to, especially he used to treat in some particular way Damodara Gopal Prabhu and Govindkund Prabhu. I don't know, somehow he liked them. Like, Damodara Prabhu, please tell, what is this word? So then also our testers, our grammar testers, it was also something incredible. Like I was thinking, okay, first test it was quite complicated on Samgi Sangi Prakarana, then second test it was even more complicated, then third test Akhyata, it was we had two parts of Akhyata, first and second part of Akhyata, and both of them are very complicated, and I was thinking, okay, we passed Akhyata, it is going to be no more complicated test, it will be easier, but then Karaka test was even more, and then Kridanta test, it was something, I remember I passed, I was writing this test maybe for 2 or 3 days somehow. Yeah, it was really tough. So and Matsyata Prabhu, he's very expert in order, in a way to compose this test so that he could squeeze out all information from us, whatever we learned it. But it was nice because it was important for us to revise all this grammar, to prepare. So then I remember also Hayagriva Prabhu. Also, yeah, Hayagriva Prabhu, very, very wonderful devotee. And somehow, instead of memorizing sutras, he always recited Bhagavatam, and he got such a taste for Bhagavatam recitation. Whenever I saw him, he used to sit and just recite Bhagavatam. And, also, he knew so many shlokas, he was very, very nice devotee. So then, when we moved to this building, and after a few days, we realized that we have no more manager, and it was very difficult situation for all school. I remember once we had a Tika class with Prabhuji, and Damodara Gopal Prabhu, he asked, we had some complicated word, something like Kridanta, and then he asked, okay, and Prabhuji explained this word, what is the meaning of this word, and all grammar stuff. And then Damodara Gopal Prabhu, he asked, okay, so we're going to learn it in future. And Prabhuji thought, maybe, I don't know. Prabhuji told, maybe, let's see. Yeah, so, yeah. It was during our volunteer class because it was such a difficult situation. Nobody knew will we continue with our school or not. And then at that point, few devotees, they took responsibility for this management, especially Durmada Prabhu. He was always complaining, okay, I'm not a manager, but he was doing everything. And Damodar Gopal Prabhu also, he took this responsibility of management. Madan Mohana Prabhu, so thank you for all those devotees. And also, what happened, at the same time, we missed our cook. So it was no cook. And then devotees started cooking breakfast and lunch themselves. And I remember it was such a wonderful. Sometimes it was eatable, sometimes not eatable.
With the gobar, remember that?
Yeah. Actually, Mataji, she used to make this brinjibasi chapatis on the roof, and it was also very tasty. And then I remember also the same Krishna Balaram Prabhu, he was making this flat rice with some fruits, and he was making it in the morning for breakfast. And then I entered the kitchen, I saw him, and he was doing it in such a love, like, Hare Krishna. Such a love and devotion. He was mixing this preparation, and then everyone took it. It was so. But sometimes it was something spoiled or burned. But anyway, it was nice. And then Govinda Kund Prabhu, he took responsibility on himself, and he had huge feasts every day. And he had this conception that, okay, we have so many devotees, and everyone has his own taste. So let us make as many subjects as we can, so that everyone could choose whatever he like. and we used to have about 5, 6, or 7 subjects every day, like small pots, and in each and every pot we had some preparation, and then all the preparation were very, very wonderful. So. Yeah, and then also at one point we had this problem with our deities that they were supposed to be taken away from us, and then it was like a whole meeting of devotees. Okay, what we can do for deities to stay there? Then did we commit some offenses? What we can do to improve our deity worship? It was like a whole prayer, and then we had whole kirtan, and then Krishna Kirtan Prabhu also after some time he joined us, and we had this evening kirtans. We have to say that it was wonderful kirtans. Like, I don't know, I remember I used to sit upstairs, and I had to study sutras, and then this kirtan is going on in the temple room at the evening time, and I was feeling that I have to split myself, because I have to study sutras, and then at the same time I have to join this kirtan. But anyway, it was very, very wonderful. So thank you. Nityananda Prabhu, Matsyatara Prabhu, Krishna Kirtan, like, and few devotees also joining the kirtans. So then also a few memories about Guru Sananda Prabhu. He was such a wonderful devotee. And then when Madan Mohan Prabhu, he left, because he has to go to Russia to help with this Moscow temple to defend this project. So Guru Sananda Prabhu, he took responsibility of this Bhagavatam overview course, and he used to tell us, don't think that we are just studying grammar there. Sanskrit is not so important. We are studying there Srimad Bhagavatam. It's Srimad Bhagavata Vidyapitham, not just Vidyapitham. He was doing very nice his service. He had very nice classes. In the beginning we had for example, for first, second kanda, we had some bunch of shlokas to memorize, so we used to recite all those shlokas all together by accompaniment of Veena, no, not Veena, tambura.